Hi everyone, welcome back. You're listening to That's a Bad Sign. I'm Liz.
And I'm Emily, and this is the True Crime Podcast we bring to you from time to time.
This week, since I told my story last time, Emily's going to tell her story because, you know, life gets in the way sometimes and I didn't have time to do notes this week. But I'm here and I'm going to bring my best reactions.
I have a feeling you're going to have a lot of reactions because this story is horrible.
Okay, can't wait to hear it. But first, let's do recommendations.
All right, so you go first.
So I got a Kindle for Christmas because I'm trying to read more in 2023. So I've already read, well, that's not true. I listened to one book and I've read a book, but it's only January 10th, so I feel like I'm doing pretty well. Anyway, I just finished reading a book called The Perfect Marriage. Have you read it?
Probably have. It sounds so familiar. What is it?
It's by Geneva Rose. I'm like trying to even remember what it is. Like I literally just finished listening to it.
They all blend.
So yeah, it's your classic, you know, psychological thriller, of which there are tons these days. So it's about this woman who is a really successful, powerful defense attorney, and her husband, who is like a struggling writer. Turns out someone's having an affair. Someone gets murdered. Obviously, the wife being a defense attorney, you know, plays into it. And it's kind of like a whodunit, and there's tons of suspects, all of whom are male, let's just say. It kind of just goes into, like, one of the chapters would be the wife's side, and then the other chapter would be the husband's side, so it goes back and forth like that. And there were times where I thought it was going to be really predictable, but in the end, it actually turns out that there were some twists that I wasn't expecting.
That's how I judge a good book these days, is if there's a twist that I didn't predict.
So there are a couple, like, some things I feel like I could predict that happened, and then a few were genuine surprises. So, you know, entertaining enough.
So my recommendation is I watched this a few weeks ago, but I forgot to tell you, Wednesday on Netflix.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
I think it's the number two streamed show behind Stranger Things, or it has some accolade, because it's kind of insane that it's supposed to be a kid's show, but everybody loves it. And yes, it's geared towards children, but Wednesday is an icon. And I think everyone knows what it's about. But I just gotta say, her outfits are great. She also just doesn't give a fuck about what anybody thinks about her. So I think that's also the appeal of it, because we all just want to be more like Wednesday.
I have to ask you, did you watch this with your husband or did you watch this alone?
Alone. However, he would pop in and out. Like if I was watching it, he would see some scenes and he really liked it. He thought it was really cool.
Okay. I think we might try to watch it together, but TBD.
All my sources are just different articles that I got on Medium, so I will put those in the show notes. And I feel like on true crime podcasts, people always talk about the most notorious serial killers, and that's who we usually cover. And I've heard names like, obviously, Ted Bundy. Harold Shipman has like 200 kills. He's a big one people cover. Sam Little has 93 different people he's murdered. People want to cover some of the most horrific crimes. And one person I haven't heard many people talk about is this one killer in particular, who I think you could argue is the most horrible person of all time. And I'm talking about Amelia Dyer, whose body count ranges from 300 to 400. And the most disgusting part is all of her victims were babies.
Oh, no.
Yes. And you heard me right. 300 to 400 babies she murdered. That is sick. Amelia Dyer was born in 1837 in the village of Pyle Marsh of the county of, I can't pronounce this. You probably know what this is.
Gloucestershire? Oh, I think it's Shire. Gloucester? I don't know.
That's what I thought, but it's spelled so weird. Regardless, somewhere in England. Her father was a master shoemaker, and he had a thriving business. She was youngest of five siblings, and the family was pretty well off. Upper middle class, I would say. But then Amelia's mother contracted typhus, and one of the side effects was she became mentally unstable. She would regularly scream at the children and beat them. And she had a very depressing, like manic life of just mental breakdowns. She then died in 1848 when Amelia was 10 years old. After her mother's death, Amelia's dad couldn't really care for the five kids, and Amelia was sent to Bristol to live with an aunt. And as I mentioned, the family was pretty well off. But when Amelia went to live with the aunt, things were very different. Prior, she went to school, she learned to read. Well, now she had to earn money to live with the aunt. So she took on being an apprentice with a corset maker. By 1861, she was 24 years old, and she met and married her first husband, George Thomas, who was 59. Very big age gap.
Why?
I mean, went from upper class, then was working and barely getting by. So marrying a man meant that she no longer had to scrap by, and she could be, you know, a stay-at-home mom and have a husband who provided for her.
All right, I see the appeal.
She becomes pregnant with their first daughter, and she's very happy being a full-time mother. However, I mentioned this guy is old, and the older he gets, the less he can work. So now she's back to living in poverty, and this time she has two mouths to feed. As I mentioned, the 1800s, there's really not that much for women to do. Two of the most common career types at the time were one being a sex worker, and the other one was being a nurse. It didn't pay well, however, you did get money and you didn't have to become a sex worker, which is, of course, frowned upon in society during this time.
Mm-hmm.
So Amelia takes on this new career path, but then in 1869, George, her husband, dies. So she's widowed with a young child and still desperate for an income. When she's in the hospital, she meets a colleague who's also a midwife named Ellen Dane. And that's where she learns about this incredibly sinister way to make money. See, Ellen was earning a living by providing lodging to unwed mothers for a fee and then selling their babies to adoption agencies for a profit.
That's horrible, but I imagine it's about to get worse.
Since it's the 1800s, fertility wasn't really an issue as it is today. Contraception was sketchy. There are many times where adoption agencies weren't looking for children. The supply was much higher than the demand. So anytime she had too many babies and no one to take them, she would let them die from neglect.
Ew.
This process of taking babies for money and then letting them die is commonly referred to as baby farming.
Ew. I can't believe that has a name.
So a little bit about baby farming. This practice was common in Victorian England in the 1800s due to the impossible situation women were put in by society. So I've read two different things. Some people say there was no contraception. Some people said it was incredibly sketchy and you shouldn't do it. Abortions were not that common. If somebody did it, it was most likely a death sentence for a mother. Men legally didn't have to pay child support. So if a woman got a man pregnant and he was married, sorry, if a woman got pregnant by a married man, he legally didn't have to care for the child, but the mother did.
That's so fucked.
Oh, even worse was there is a law introduced called the Poor Law Amendment Act, where unwed mothers were deemed immoral and they weren't permitted to enter the workhouses. And workhouses were the Victorian version of social care. So people could live there and be fed in return for their work. Having this situation is how baby farms came to be. Let me pause there. Does that make sense? Any questions?
I guess I don't really have any questions. I'm just truly horrified.
That's worse. All right, so back to Amelia Dyer. She started off by putting her training and experience as a nurse to use by opening a home for unwed mothers. She would take these women in who truly had no other place to go and deliver their babies. And then one of two things would happen. Some of the women would ask her to dispose of the baby outright. So she would kill it on the spot with the mother's blessing.
Oh my God.
Horrible. The other thing that would happen was the women would ask that she find a happy home for the baby. And then the woman would leave thinking their children were in loving hands. And Amelia would then kill the child unknowingly to the mother. So all in all, the baby would die. Just if the mother was in on it or not. This was the 1800s. Stillbirths were very common, so the amount of babies that were dying in her care really didn't raise any alarm bells to people.
That is actually a good point.
Now we're in 1872. Amelia married a brewer's laborer, which I don't know what that means, but his name was William Dyer, and they had two children together. Eventually, Amelia became dissatisfied with the marriage and left her husband, taking her children with her. Which is interesting because for all the babies she was murdering, apparently she treated her own children well, which I just think is horrible.
Which now she has three in total.
Correct. With no husband, Amelia found herself in the same position, as always, of being broke. So this time she pivoted from opening a home and delivering babies to offering her services as a foster parent, where she would ask women to pay a fee to have their babies taken off their hands and cared for. So very similar to what she was doing before.
Yeah, okay.
How much they paid was based upon their means. Those who could get the illegitimate father to pay, or if they had wealthy parents who want to keep the pregnancy a secret, would pay as much as £80. While those who were poor and had to come up with the payment themselves, she would accept £5. In 1879, 7 years of running the baby farm, Amelia finally caught the attention of the authorities because a doctor finally became suspicious of the number of deaths that had occurred in her care. Officers investigated and they found her guilty of neglect. And do you want to take a guess at how long she was sentenced?
I'm sure it's not that long. So like 5 years?
6 months.
Oh my God.
6 months of hard labor. And I think that's different than going to prison and being a cell. Hard labor means you are, it's backbreaking work.
This is just an aside, but I didn't even know England had those.
No, no idea. So she absolutely detested the hard labor, which it sounds like everybody does. Because when she got out, she vowed never to go back to her old ways. She did not want to go back to being sentenced to hard labor. And she tried making an honest living. Now, I know I sound like a broken record, but as I said, it's nearly impossible for unwed women to make that much money, so she quickly found herself living in poverty again.
Now with three kids.
When she wasn't living on the streets, in order to get a warm bed at night, she would commit herself on and off to insane asylums. Because I mentioned her mom went crazy after getting, was it typhoid?
Uh-huh.
So people said that she would just act like her mother did and she would instantly be put in insane asylums because she knew exactly, you know, what they were looking for when it came to crazy.
That's an interesting method. What happened to her kids when she was there?
I don't know. But also it sounds like you hit like 13, you're out of the house. So maybe she just didn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later of going in and out of insane asylums and having enough of poverty in these sporadic stays, she moved to 45 Kensington Road in Reading, Berkshire to take up baby farming again.
No.
She knew she'd be caught by the doctors if she didn't switch tactics. So she decided there would be no more doctor death certificates. Instead, she would be the one to dispose of the bodies herself. She also, this is so sad. I didn't mention this earlier. And the first time she went baby farming, she would let the babies die of neglect and starvation. In order to mute their cryings, she would give them opioids. So this time she decided opioids were too expensive, so instead of drugging the babies, she was going to outright strangle them with dressmaker's tape.
No.
She said the moment they were born, she would put tape around their neck and just watch them slowly stop breathing.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I have chills.
So now we're in the year 1890. A governess had given birth out of wedlock and gave her baby to Amelia. She wasn't one of the mothers that didn't care what happened to her baby. She actually wanted a better life. So she would often write to Amelia to check in on her child. Then she went to see Amelia because she wanted to finally see her child. And turns out the moment that Amelia got the governess's baby, she killed it that same day. So Amelia had to think on her feet to say, get this woman off her back. So she found another person's child and gave it to the governess, hoping that the mother wouldn't notice that this wasn't her child. And like, hey, I get it. A lot of babies look the same. However, the governess instantly realized that the child didn't have a birthmark and went right to the police.
I was going to say, this is turning into like a baby Ponzi scheme.
Well, what did the police do? Absolutely nothing. They couldn't care less.
Why? That's like, I know you're not going to have an answer for that, but like, what the hell?
Fast forward 6 years later, in 1896, a corpse had been found by some locals in the Thames River. When police investigated, they found it was a dead baby wrapped in some paper, and that paper had Amelia's address on it.
Oh, shit.
So finally, the police couldn't ignore this any longer. There was hard proof she was a murderer and disposing of children. police start looking into her background and they see that she's relocated a few times and she's wanted to go out of in and out of insane asylums. So they figured if they go up to her, she's simply going to disappear or commit herself. So the cops employed a decoy to meet with her about possible adoption. And when Amelia arrived for the meeting, they made their arrest. As the police searched Amelia's home, they were met with the stench of human decomposition coming from the kitchen cabinets and a trunk hidden beneath a bed.
I am gonna vomit.
They also discovered evidence such as the white tape that she put on all the babies, telegrams regarding adoption arrangements, aka when she would reach out to mothers saying that she'll adopt their child, pawn tickets for children's clothing, because it turns out after she would kill the babies, she would sell their clothes, and some letters from mothers inquiring about the well-being of their children.
No.
Amelia was arrested and brought to trial on March 22, 1896, and the jury found her guilty in less than 5 minutes. She confessed to all of her crimes and personally wrote out a multi-page confession providing every detail. And she said, if you ever find a dead baby with some tape around its neck, it's mine.
Okay. What is wrong with her?
Horrible. I told you, this is probably the worst person we've ever covered. She was sentenced to death and quickly hung. But the story does not end there. 2 weeks after Amelia's execution, railway workers found a parcel of a three-week-old girl. She was wet and starved, but alive. Thank God. On investigation, it was found that the baby had been given to a Mrs. Stewart for 12 pounds. Mrs. Stewart, in fact, turned out to be the daughter of Amelia. So not only was Amelia running a baby farm, she got all of her children involved to run their own as well.
Oh my God, they had a family business.
It's so disgusting. Amelia's case was huge in the public and everyone followed it. I mean, it's so sensational because women are supposed to be these caregivers, and to find one that has killed anywhere between 300 and 400. And I'm not exaggerating. Her minimum amount that they can confirm is 300 babies.
That is so wild.
After this got out, I mean, the story, authorities put strict adoption laws in place and police were given the power to visit baby farms and inspect them to reduce abuse. Unfortunately, it did not work and baby farming carried on for many more years, resulting in thousands of babies disappearing.
This is really one of the more upsetting stories you've ever told, if not the most.
It's so horrible. And I mean, we know Amelia wasn't the only one who was baby farming. I mean, someone taught it to her. And then her children. But it sounds like there's more people out there who did it, which is just so, so sad.
Yeah, I mean, if it took that long for someone who was running a quote unquote business or scheme that was that significant, I can't even imagine the amount of people that were running smaller operations that just like were never discovered.
Oh my God. Also, I should look into this more. The person who taught Amelia everything, what did I say her name was? Oh, Ellen Dane. She was never caught because she fled to America. So who knows if she was doing it in America?
Oh my God. And she, okay, great. Great. She got away with it.
Well, my story ends there. That is the horrible story of Amelia Dyer.
Well, that was horrendous. But wow, I can't even, I like truly actually can't believe that that happened. Before we sign off, I wanted to ask you if you have heard about the missing woman in Boston?
I have seen a few headlines. Okay. Can you give everyone an update?
Brief recap, okay? This woman, Anna Welsh, I think, she was last seen on New Year's Day, apparently was traveling from Massachusetts down to DC where she worked in real estate, but her family lived in like the Massachusetts area. And then it was discovered that she never got on her plane. A couple days later, both her family and her work reported her missing. The husband was like cooperating with investigators, trying to help them out. But then it came out that he actually was under arrest for, what do they call it? Like purposely misleading investigators. And they didn't really say why yet. But it also came out that he spent $450 on cleaning supplies the day after she like allegedly went missing. And he said that it was because he was helping his mom with something, but like, obviously not. He also was wearing a surgical mask and gloves in the store.
What an idiot. Did they drop her off at the plane?
No, she apparently was supposed to get in a rideshare of some sort, which I think they haven't released whether or not she actually got in it. I would assume no at this point. I also saw that they found like a bloody knife somewhere on the property. No. So, I mean, it sounds like for sure the husband is responsible for this. And it reminded me a bit of the Connecticut woman who went missing a while back. I know, I think they were divorced, but it ended up being the ex-husband. But I'm just like, enough is enough. And also, you're an idiot.
It is always the husband.
Truly. Anyway, more to come on that story. Just thought it was interesting, especially coming off the heels of the Idaho murderer getting arrested.
So if you're still with us, please rate us and give us a review and follow us on Instagram.
We're begging you. We need some reviews in 2023.
All right. We love you guys.
Bye for now.